Hello, ladies and gentlemen, because there's only two genders. Welcome back to the show. This is Laz Christian. We are on our Bible study show for this week, and we're going to have a whole lot of fun. We did talk about this topic. We touched on it earlier, the lineage from Adam to Noah, but we're going to do that deep dive like we promised. So, JD, why don't you come on in and join us and tell us how much of a deep dive we're going to go on here.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I only got the outline maybe, what, half hour ago? Mm-hmm. After scrolling through it, I can understand why you're saying it's going to be a while that we're going to be here. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I already discovered something, as you know, but I'm not going to break that down for them just yet.
Okay.
Looking forward to the study, though.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Could you pray us in?
Absolutely.
Make sure we study correctly.
Absolutely, Father. We come to you and we ask for your guidance. Please give David the words to say. Give me the questions to answer as we try to reach out and provide the word to everyone that's listening, no matter the platform. Thank you, Father, for this time together. And we just ask that you please guide us and again, give us the words to say to glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to give people a heads up. You know, we talk about the Matzaroth often on here, mm-hmm. how everything's written in the stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God, to corroborate, because, you know, it's in the mouth of two or three witnesses that a thing is established, mm-hmm. which is what his word says. So he tells us in other ways, too. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to be talking about the genealogy. Mm-hmm. And this is usually the part everybody skips over. And so what we're going to do is go ahead and read Genesis 5, and then you'll figure out why everyone skips it over. You want to read it? You want me to read it?
I could try. Genesis 5, beginning in verse 1.
Genesis 5. Yeah, the whole thing.
Okay. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel,
very good.
Just close anyway, right? Canaan lived 840 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years, and he had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters, so all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
There you go.
All right.
So tell me what that means.
I don't know. Well, I do now, but, you know, because like I said,
we have more of an idea.
Yeah, I discovered a little bit when you sent it to me. Anyway, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, we're going to go there right now. We'll start right at the top. And as boring as that sounds, that is incredibly telling.
Yes, that entire thing. Yeah.
Now you're like, you always ask yourself the question, and like I said, we touched on it before. Hey, it spells this out, but Jesus is written all over this, and he made it this whole chapter. And it's the book of the generations of Adam. Okay. And the generations is Toledah. Okay. The descent, the family, the history. So that will become important later, too. Let me see here. Everything entitled in a person's life. So it's progeny as well. Toledah. So Adam becomes a symbol for mankind, obviously, because it's Adam. And what most people don't realize that Adam was both male and female at first, and he took the female part out. That's why he says male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Okay. So that's just really interesting. Male and female were in the one person, and we can't grasp our head around that.
No.
Other than being a hermaphrodite, but that's not a good thing at this point. And he created Genesis.
Right.
But if we look at the names all the way down from Adam to Noah, that is like from creation to judgment. And then, so that's a micro picture, because Adam even was talking about, you know, in his, he has a writing as well. And he talked about, "I know from the stars that we'll have two judgments. One will be of fire and one will be of water, but I don't know which one's first," is kind of what he said. But he can read it, because remember, the Matzaroth tells the story in the stars. Well, another way that God corroborates that this is his word was in the meaning of the names, bringing the sentence of redemption all through history. So I wanted to really look at that. And so if we see, to put the chart back up, it says Adam means man. Okay. Seth means appointed. And then Enosh is mortal. Kenan is sorrow. Mahalalel, the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch is teaching, and Methuselah, his death shall bring, and Lamech, the despairing, and Noah means comfort and rest. So there's a lot to it, but the first sentence that we see in the complete lineage of the pre-flood world, if you would, it brings a sentence. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. But the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort.
And rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, David, and it jumped out at me. You know, I was just kind of going through what you'd sent me, and I said, okay, this is just a chart David's going to talk about. And then I started reading it. It's like, whoa, there's a lot more to it than just a chart David's going to read. Okay, go ahead.
And it's a foreshadowing of the gospel message here, especially given that Genesis was written long before Jesus coming. Okay.
Right.
So what you could do is say, oh, you know, Moses didn't write that, that some rabbis wrote this. later on and said it was from Moses, or it wasn't from the hand of God. And it's like, okay, so what you're going to tell me is that a bunch of rabbis got together and decided to put the Christian message tucked into the names of all their patriarchs in the
when
Bible.
When they don't even believe in Jesus, right?
Yeah. So it's a no, this is just another way, along with the numbers that we talked about, mm-hmm. along with the misspellings that are in the exact right spot for mm-hmm. different reasons, mm-hmm. Along with the codes that are in there. This is just another code. Now, it's an easy code to figure out, which is good, because, you know, you have the Enigma code, which is incredibly impossible to figure mm-hmm. out.
Right.
But finally they did, because one guy, they started every message with Heil Hitler. So they're like, hey, wait a minute. Why don't we just start every message with Heil Hitler and see where mm-hmm. we get? And they figured out the code because mm-hmm. they were dumb. You know, they mm-hmm. figured then. So any kind of codes, they're very simple. Like, we know this one: one if by land, two if by sea, right? Mm-hmm. 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 Now, that's easy to figure out. So the ships that were on the sea from Britain that were coming in, they could clearly see that there's lamps in the church tower, mm-hmm. but they had no idea what it meant, because it was right. a preconceived message.
Right.
And it all, the cipher code is only in your head. That's Paul Revere had it. One, if it was they're coming by land. Two, mm-hmm. if they're coming by sea. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's really easy to figure out if you know the code. Oh, it's one. Okay, they're coming by land. Oh, it's two. However, the genius of it is that no one else knows the code. Mm-hmm. So here, long before Moses was, you know, how many years before Christ? Abraham was, let me see. Abraham was 2,000 years. Moses was like another 400 or so. So you're looking at 1,600 years or so before Christ. Mm-hmm. He's got all these things that he wrote down. But he didn't know any of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, he didn't right. he didn't have any clue that God was going to come down and teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort.
Right.
So that's just written in there because God told him what to write. And I believe it was letter by letter, too, because of these mm-hmm. specific misspellings. Yeah. That's an interesting thought, too. Okay, write a B, but make it a big one. Why? Just do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Don't now this is this is the number three, but add this extra letter in there.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because then it makes it pi, and that's what the thing is, the circumference of the okay. Uh-huh. So he didn't know all these things, obviously, but now it's easy to figure out because we have the code.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really powerful when we see that this is corroboration that God wrote this directly to Moses, letter by letter, right. and put his gospel in there. So now when you still get people today, you get them all the time. Prove that God exists. All right, tell you what, you just die and then come back and you tell me.
Oh, man.
But, you know, you're like, listen, just look around you. And mm-hmm. you try and be nice, you know, because yeah. we were all ignorant one day. Look around you. Mm-hmm. Do you really, really believe that all of this happened by accident?
They really don't. But they want to stand yeah. behind it because they don't want to believe in God.
Yeah. And that's basically the thing, is they just don't want to believe. Because mm-hmm. Romans clearly says, just look at creation. Mm-hmm. And it says that there was a creator, and you can know who he is just by his creation.
Amen.
And he was specifically talking about everything that we see in nature, but also the stars. He has a reference to the stars too. They're mm-hmm. all in there. And mm-hmm. and everybody knew the stories of the stars, because we still have them today. It's the same mm-hmm. story coming down right. through all the different civilizations. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. You knew. He made sure you knew. But he also made sure to corroborate his word with this. So man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort. Mm. All right. So we'll move on here. The introduction of death's reign. What else did you notice after each one, except for Enoch?
Let me put it back up here. Maybe I can catch up with what you're saying.
It's not in the names anymore. It's in Genesis chapter 5.
Okay.
So he had this many kids, and then he lived this many years, and then what?
And they died every time.
And they died.
Except once.
Yep.
Okay.
Except for Enoch. Mm-hmm. Okay, side note, that is not a prerequisite for being one of the two witnesses, that you didn't have to die, so it's not Enoch. Enoch is not one of the two witnesses. There's nothing that says, oh, these are two guys that had to die. Mm-hmm. No, they were symbolic of the law and the prophets, the law being Moses and the prophets, symbolic being Elijah. So the two witnesses come in the spirit and power of Moses and Elijah. Mm-hmm. Whether they're the exact persons is yet to be seen, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, and I'm kind of leaning in that direction now after going through this study as we have over the past few months, and based on what is, when Jesus was with, I don't know how to call them, they're not resurrected, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, they were in a glorified body on the Mount of
glorified body. There you go.
Yeah, so that's there's Moses and Elijah up there on the Mount of Transfiguration,
mm-hmm.
and as we call it, and he's like, yay, I'll make a temple for all of y'all, for the law, for the prophets, and mm-hmm. for Jesus. He's like, nope, it's just about Jesus now. The law and the prophets are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're not done away with, they're just fulfilled.
Right.
Okay, and then that they're fulfilled in Christ, but then that last 7-year period has to deal with Israel again, so it's a reintroduction of the law and the prophets for that mm-hmm. final week mm-hmm. of Daniel chapter 9. So it just that puzzle fits. And there he was on the on the mountain with them. I suspect they were the two that came to the tomb and the two that watched him go up as well.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 1. Mm-hmm. We shall see.
Yep.
But they were there already once, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't be a surprise.
No.
Mm-hmm. So Genesis 5 repeatedly emphasizes death with the phrase, and he died. And this serves basically as the reminder of the consequences of sin.
Mm.
We see in Genesis 2:17 and then Romans again, the wages of sin is death in 5:12. So death became the dominant reality of human existence after the fall. Everybody dies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in Christ, we have eternal life. So I want to touch on that, too, if I may.
Sure.
Eternal life. So we tend to think of eternal as, when we draw the timelines in school, you made a line and there's an arrow starts here and then it goes off in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then we think of eternity as having, it's infinity that way and infinity this way on two different lines. When in reality, it's not a line at all. It's outside of our dimension. It's mm-hmm. outside of time altogether. So mm-hmm. it's not having an unlimited amount of time. It's actually being completely without side of time. So that's cool. All right. So, well, we got a lot of stuff, people. So we're going to keep going. And we're going to go back. We will get back in the second half to each of the names and we'll go on them. But right now we're going to look at Enoch did not die, his unique mm-hmm. translation. So it says mm-hmm. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. That's going to be cool for us as believers. If we're still here when Jesus returns, he'll just say, and they were not.
Yeah.
they were here, and now they're not.
Yeah, I didn't understand that for a long time. And mm-hmm. the part where he says, and he was not. I didn't get it. I didn't get it until you put it with everybody else. Everybody else dies. But you never see any remark there whatsoever about Enoch dying. Nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Enoch walked and became the father and son. It was 65 years, and he was not. So let's look it up. That's Genesis 5:24. We'll bring up the interlinear and see what it says in the Hebrew.
Okay.
And it says the word here is Vav Ayin. And then it's Aninu. So Let me see here. Ayin as a primitive root meaning of nothing or not exist, a non-entity. Okay. And then it is a particle. Okay. It is an adverb. So like Johnny Dangerously, that's an adverb. And then it's a suffix. So it's at the end. It's a third person masculine singular. And then the vav, that's a vav in the front, which is a conjunction. It's just an and. And he was not. It just literally says that. Boom. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, we could probably vanished. Say it's in like modern vernacular.
Vanish. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Do you remember that old show called Soap?
Yeah. Never watched it, but I remember.
Yeah, and they were just making fun of soap operas. Well, it was a comedy. And then I think it was, was it the father or the grandfather? He'd just go, and he says, I'm invisible.
Oh, yeah. I do remember something like that. Yeah. Okay.
That's what it's like. Mm-hmm. He was just, boop, he was gone. But if you read the book of Enoch, he just became so enamored with God. And, you know, some of the theories out there is he was the first one to do writing. But then, you know, we have the book of Adam and Eve. So what was that all about? Maybe he wrote it after this. Because he was how many years into this? We got to see if, yeah, Adam was still alive at this point. So the thought is that he invented writing. And which is why he's, you know, part of his words say he's the teacher, you know. And the since he wrote all this stuff down and he got so close to God and he even interceded for the fallen angels. Here's the watchers. They come to Enoch and say, listen, you're in good with Yahweh. Could you please bring a message? And he's like, why don't you do it? He's like, well, we're not allowed to talk to him anymore. Could you tell him we're sorry? And could you ask him if he'd come down and take us back? So Enoch goes to God. Read it in Enoch chapter 15. It's interesting. And he's like, them watchers, they want me to come up and like advocate for him. And he's like, Enoch, they're supposed to be advocating for you, not you for them. And he's like, tell them no. Tell them it's too late, all right? Because they're already inside eternity. Mm-hmm. But that's how close he was to God. He would just walk around. He'd show them, if you read it, it basically it looks like those waterfalls of plasma, if you would, all around the throne room, how glorious it was, and just such a description of what heaven was like. And that's, and he says, I can't even do it justice, you know? But that's how close he was. And he's like, you know, you're not going to make it down there. Just come up here with me.
Right.
And then it's also a type of the rapture because people don't understand.
Right.
Well, Noah is a type of the rapture because he was protected through the flood. It's like, no. Let's back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus is the ark, okay? Mm-hmm. Is the ark that Noah used, but for the Jesus for the Jews will be that ark because he's going to protect them through the destruction of that final 7 years of the tribulation period. Okay, but Enoch is a type of Christ where he comes and he gets his bride, so that's the rapture. Okay, so he's like, so he's so close, pulls him up. So here, you know, when people say, oh, the rapture is not in the Old Testament, yes, it is because Paul said it was a mystery. All right. And a mystery doesn't mean, hey, I made it up. Mystery was, it was put there. So when we go back and look at it, you know, just like these 10 names here, when we look at it now, we can see the redemption plan that was confirmed in it. And it was written thousands of years ago. It's the same thing. We can look at that now and say, yeah, it was hidden in there. That the Enoch is the church that gets caught up and Noah is Israel that gets protected through
through it.
So we get caught up before the wrath and they get protected through the wrath. And that's what it's like. And it, and if you don't understand that, you need to look at the different roles that the church and Israel have. You know, and even Paul, he had three groups of people. There was the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. And those were the three entities that we had. Even John the Baptist said, you know, like, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. You know, and then he said the greatest man ever, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he is. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means there's another different type of salvation coming. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know how to put it. It's not really different salvation. We're all saved through the blood of Christ, but we have different roles in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. We got to understand that. We all have different roles, even in the country we live in. You all live here, mm-hmm. you know, and you all have the one government or whatever, and the one, but you all have different roles in mm-hmm. the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So you need to understand that. We're not all lumped into one.
Right.
There's different rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go back to this.
I just wanted to point out real quick to people, if you are following along with us in the Bible, what he's in here is Genesis 5, verse 24. But also, you need to look into the New Testament as well to learn about a little bit more about the rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Verses 16 and 17. Just a quick note there. Go ahead, David.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we are going to see that rapture come. I mean, mm-hmm. To people who say there's no rapture, you're just not reading. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's as simple as that.
Right.
And that's called ignorant. Right. That's not a bad word. It means you. Mm-hmm. Ignorant literally means you don't have the knowledge.
Right.
Yeah, and now stupid is something completely different. Stupid means you just know. And dumb is something different. You just can't speak. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's ignorant. You're just lacking insight on it. Mm-hmm. There will be a rapture. There is argument about what's the timing of the rapture. That's something different as well.
Yeah.
But then if you understand the role of Israel and the role of the church, and you can understand that final week of prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, mm-hmm. it's, you know, just unequivocally and demonstrably the rapture will happen before that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's just the way it is. I'm not arguing about all the time frames, because the time frames could be pointing to Israel.
Right.
You know, so if you are one of Israel and, you know, then you receive the Lord during that tribulation period, then yeah, you'll be protected through that as well. Mm-hmm. And I suspect even maybe some before that, but I don't know. We got to look. In either case, the rapture is just around the corner. So I would suggest that you take that contract that Jesus made with you, and then you can come on a rapture with us, because it's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, Lord willing, we will be back for the second half and talk about the rest of this sentence, and we'll see you then. All right. Bye-bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB. Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Okay, it looks like we're back. No rapture yet, but we're still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we're waiting, because, again, this sentence, Genesis chapter 5, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort. All right? That's Amen. I like that verse, too. He says, comfort yourself, you know, with saying this, you know? And that's another reason for the rapture. Hey, Jesus is going to come down, and the wrath of God is going to come on you, and you're going to get your head cut off. Therefore, comfort yourself with these words. It's not how that works. No, comfort yourself, because you know he's gonna come and protect you and save you. That's cool. So Enoch was taken up as appointed to rapture. Then we have Methuselah. His lifespan on the flood connection. Now Methuselah was 969 years. That is the longest lifespan recorded in the Bible. I don't know if it's the longest lifespan ever, but it's the longest one recorded.
And my opinion hasn't changed. I think it's the longest one ever.
And I kind of lean in that direction too, and we'll find out. Now, I do know that they did not live past 1,000, because 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years.
Right.
And he said, in the day that you eat that fruit, you shall surely die. People say, he didn't die that day. He lived 900 years. Well, if you look at prophetically, he died within that day. And that's the way the early church fathers and all the other writers interpreted it.
Yeah, good point.
That's the way they all interpreted it back then. And then we lose this stuff, and then, you know, and then people get all wacky.
Yeah, that's another thing that's never talked about in churches. You know,
all the things you never talk about. That's why
I've never heard a sermon on this ever, not once.
On 1,000 years is one day.
Yeah, never, not one time. I mean, I've heard that phrase mentioned. You know.
Yeah. 100 They all say the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, time doesn't mean anything to God. You know. And then they make the joke. Hey, well, God, how much is a $1,000,000 to you? It's like a penny. Oh, God, how much is like, a million years to you? It's like a second. And then the guy goes, hey, God, do you think I can have a penny? He says, sure. Hang on a second. That's not what it means, folks.
No.
If you read it in 2 Peter, it talks about specifically the globe was flooded. Okay. And yes, I did say globe. The globe was flooded. And they did not recognize this. It's talking about the idea of evolution, okay? And it's talking about at the end of the age, people will not understand. They're going to create all these millions of years because that's their God now. Their God isn't, hey, I'm the creator and I can do all these wonderful things. No, God is time, because if you give enough time, it'll just happen on its own. So now your God is time, but it's still this magical thing that happens, you know? But time doesn't create order. Time creates chaos. That's a problem. Because you'd leave something sit, it will decay. It will fall apart. It doesn't get better and better. But that's their God, is time. And that's what 2 Peter's talking about. And he's like, no. He said, they're going to say it's millions of years. They're going to deny the flood. And they're going to do all this stuff. But he says, but remember this. He's talking about prophecy and the beginning of the earth, and he says, remember this.
Mm-hmm.
One day is as 1,000 years. And then in mm-hmm. case you didn't get it, and to corroborate, he flips it around. And 1,000 years is as one day.
Yeah, I was always told that if the Bible repeats something right away, that's an important thing to remember. I was told
that. Yeah, so he repeated the concept in the Hebrew, mm-hmm. but he reversed it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like verily, verily. It's like, hey, this I'm specifically telling you something.
Yeah.
And it specifically means is a microcosm, just like mm-hmm. there was 6,000 years, 6 days of creation, and then 1,000 year rest, or I did it again, 6 days of creation mm-hmm. and a day of rest.
Right.
Okay. There'll be 6,000 years of earth history, and then 1,000 years as that one day of rest.
Amen.
That's when Jesus comes, and we call that the millennium. He said, specifically says he will reign for 1,000 years.
Yes.
And he says it, guess how many times he says that in Revelation?
I don't remember.
Passage, it's like in the handful of verses, 6 times.
Oh,
he says, 6 times he says 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And the devil's locked up for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when 1,000 years is over, it says 6 times. So he's reiterating that'll be mm-hmm. 6,000 years mm-hmm. of earth history. And then that millennium is the rest day for the earth.
Yeah.
That is when the Messiah will rule and reign. It's also for, you know, it's the consummation of the marriage. It's judgment, because now mm-hmm. how is he going to adjudicate all those 6,000 years of people ruling evil mm-hmm. rule? Well, he has to evil in righteousness and demonstrate this is how you mm-hmm. this is how you do it in righteousness.
Yeah.
So he's going to rule for mm-hmm. 1,000 years. This is a righteous rule. So we're going to compare you to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so now he can adjudicate properly, and that's the generational contracts again.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So bring us back to Methuselah, and it means his death shall bring, mm-hmm. and it's a prophecy. Because, I got you last week or a couple weeks ago with this, too. Who was the oldest man that ever lived?
Methuselah, well.
Yeah, but he died before his father.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Because Enoch was taken. Yeah,
yeah. You know, Enoch didn't
yeah.
die.
Yeah, you blew my mind with that the first time around. It's like, oh, that's
yeah, got you good.
Yeah.
So Enoch has a kid, and he knows what's coming because he's up there talking to God every day. They're having mm-hmm. this nice coffee that we got out there. I think they had everyday dose. I don't
everyday
know.
Dose. Yeah, we'll throw that in there real quick. If you guys want to help support the ministry, you can go to lastchristian.net, and you'll find an area there where you can just click it and go to Everyday Dose. And you can get you some coffee, and I just started
it's
drinking
good
it.
Coffee.
Yeah, I just started drinking it. It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah. But it has all the benefits of the mushrooms and the collagen mm-hmm. and all the other cool stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me jitter. I sleep.
And it doesn't taste like. It does not taste like mushrooms, people. It
yeah,
tastes
that
like,
other
it tastes like coffee.
Like mud.
Yeah,
it's like,
good. Tastes good.
It's like they literally ground up. They pulled the mushrooms out of the dirt and threw it in a blender.
Mm-hmm.
But this tastes good.
mm-hmm.
It really does.
It does.
I've been
good.
At, a little over a year.
I highly recommend it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So, but I think it wasn't around back with Methuselah, though.
Mm-hmm.
I was just
mm-hmm.
kind of making that up. So he's like, all right, here's the prophecy. He was told of the judgment. Enoch was told, here's your judgment coming. And it will be when your son dies. If you read the mm-hmm. book of Enoch, that's why he said his death shall bring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Meaning his death is going to bring this judgment. So can you imagine growing up with the kid, you know, and you're like his mom, and you're just hoping he doesn't get the flu and die because then the judgment's coming.
Mm.
All right. But you know, or hey, will you stop driving at 150 miles an hour, please?
Right.
Listen. Sit here.
Mm.
Be quiet.
Mm.
Take this medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep him along, alive as long as possible. Yeah. Listen, when he dies, that's a judgment comes. So it's 969 years, and he's the longest one ever. So this simplifies a lot of things. Number one, he's the longest man ever recorded to live, which shows you God's mercy. So he said he is not slack concerning his, you know, his salvation, but he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. So he gave a lot of time, and the longest time allotted was right here, 969 years, for people to repent. And he was long-suffering in that. So there's number one. Number two, if you pan this out, it's actually the exact timing of the flood.
Yeah, I saw that. That's really cool. I had never noticed that before. Yeah.
Yep. And it was actually, by all other accounts, it was 1 week before the flood because they had to mourn for that 7 days.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what happened. Okay, Methuselah's about to die. God brings all the animals over, and Noah's like, oh, I guess this is it. He gets in a boat. The animals come on. God closes the door and says, okay, everybody mourn for that 7 days for Methuselah, but this is it. And what my question, another one on the list, is what did all these people do? Now, we knew they were all huge. Okay, they were all much bigger. They all lived longer. Plus, you have all the giants that are in there.
Right.
What were these people thinking when they were making fun of Noah for 100 and some odd years, building his boat in his backyard, you know? Is it, or was it in the driveway? I don't know. But he's building his boat. Now, remind you, Bible says it hadn't rained.
Right.
Because a mist came up from the ground. I don't know if that perpetuated all the way up to Noah, but this is one reason. And it was all one big landmass. So he's in the middle of this giant landmass building a boat.
Yeah, he was looked at as an idiot. I'm sure they thought he was the craziest individual on the face of the earth, right?
Yeah, they probably had tours, you know, $10, you come, we could watch Noah build his boat. You can make fun of him if you want.
Yeah.
You know, but don't touch him because he looks like an albino. We don't know what's going on there. Anyway, but he had the perfect genealogy. It says it was perfect in his generations. In his generation, which means his genealogy. So he was he was one of, at least, maybe the only one that had no corruption from in the gene pool at that point. Now, there may have been others who weren't corrupted by Nephilim DNA, but they were still evil because it said the thoughts and intents of man was only continually evil. Okay, well, that doesn't say the thoughts and intents of the Nephilim, because we know that was continually evil. It says man. But I assume there was other men that didn't have it, but he was the only one who trusted God.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and there was a reason for that. So he trusted him, and he had perfect genes. So he says, okay, we're going to start this all over again. And there's estimates, some of them go up as high as 7 or 8 billion people on the planet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At this time. You know, just like there is today. And that's not unheard of. I mean, look at how many here. We got 10 generations living 900 and change years.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And how many kids did that?
That's what I was going to say is, you know, you can't discount it because, you know, you're talking about people living hundreds of years. My gracious, how many kids could you possibly have in hundreds of years? That's a bunch.
Yeah. Some of the writings say Adam and Eve had 50. Some say, I think, 30.
Yeah.
Well, suffice it to say, that if everybody had 20 kids, there's an awful lot of people on the planet.
Right.
And it was a lot more because all the water was underneath the planet at the time. It was all underneath the crust. So, the water, our sea levels were much lower, and it was one Pangaea, as they call it. And then when the fountains of the deep broke, now all that water comes out, and it's squeezing in, so the Earth, the diameter shrinks a little bit, because all that water comes out, and now we got all these things, just like, you know, the legend of Atlantis. You got all these megaliths that are underwater, and you're like, what happened here? Remember the flood?
Yeah.
The flood. Remember the flood?
Yeah.
Okay. And then God, in his wisdom, kind of pushed some other stuff up, so now we got land that pops up. And you know, you can fit all the people on Earth today inside of Jacksonville, Florida. So imagine how much room we had back then when it was more land.
Wow.
But imagine if there were 7 billion people at the time and like every last one of them died.
Man. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to it's mind-blowing is what it is.
Yeah. And now we're going to see during the tribulation how many more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the middle part of it, more than half of them are gone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
you know, and then how many during, you know, the final judgment when he comes down with his sword coming out of his mouth, how many are left at that point? You know, only the good ones are getting through. And that's another question, too, which was a good one someone posed the other day. So at the end of the tribulation, does only the people who receive the Lord actually go through, or does some people who actually lived but didn't receive the Lord actually make it into the millennium?
Yeah, I've always wondered that, and I've also wondered if anybody gets saved, you know.
Well, they do get saved during the
millennial period. I mean, is there something?
Oh, during the millennium, yeah.
Yeah, I've always wondered that.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, but clearly there are those that don't, because at the end he's going to create gather a great multitude again, mm-hmm. to go against him and say, hey, you know what, if you don't like this Jesus fella, come on with me, you know.
Yeah, and some idiots,
and then he's
gonna
destroy them.
Yeah.
All again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People wonder why he does that too. Why'd he let that happen? Well, you got to give people their choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't give them their choice, then it's not a proper adjudication.
Yeah. And that's one reason I think people do get saved during the millennium, because what would it be? You know, he's given us, 6,000 years? He's given, mm-hmm. everybody else 1,000, and he's actually present?
Yeah. Seems. Imagine the Essenes, and they knew the age of grace was coming. They're like, mm-hmm. it's going to be great, because, you know, he's going to fulfill the law. We won't have all these, you know, these crazy rules that we have to do anymore. Just, you know, mm-hmm. the basically the what they might call the Noahide laws. Don't kill people. Don't eat that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But not all the crazy Levitical stuff. And they were, mm-hmm. looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And I wonder what they thought. How can anyone in the age of grace, when he says, look, it's a free gift, and all you have to do is accept it, how can, mm-hmm. anyone not accept that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that had to be mind-blowing for them.
Yeah. And now, yeah. we're doing the same thing. We're looking ahead, yeah. you know, in a few, mm-hmm. years here and saying, how could these people see Jesus actually ruling and reigning on the
right.
earth,
uh-huh.
and still reject him?
Yeah, that's
but
crazy.
They will.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. And so we have the continuity of the messianic line.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 5 ensures the continuity of the messianic line from Adam through Noah, eventually leading to Abraham, and ultimately to Jesus. And this chapter is crucial for establishing God's plan of redemption through a chosen lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's interesting?
What's up?
That Abraham actually lived with Noah for a while.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. That's another one of the things that I didn't catch for a long time. But, yeah.
So you could see in the timeline, but even... you know, other writings will tell, I believe that's Jubilees again, that he lived for like 50 years on the mountain with Noah.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And then it was after that he was called out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then that was cool, you know, what he did with his father and the idol-making factory. That was fun. I'll tell you about, mm-hmm. it next time, so you make sure you tune in.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be on we're going to be on this topic for a bit.
Oh yeah, we haven't even started yet. This is, mm-hmm. this is just laying the groundwork for it.
Mm-hmm.
So after the flood, we see here the dramatic decline in lifespans.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Okay, mm-hmm. and there's some reasons for that, and they seem to coincide with cataclysmic events on the earth. Because, you know, we know the flood obviously was cataclysmic. And then for a little while after that, I think it was a couple hundred years or so, we had like a mini ice age. That's where we get some of this glacial stuff. People, mm-hmm. Millions of years ago, it was covered with ice. No, it's because the whole, basically like a reverberation. So here's this destruction, and then it settles down. So, mm-hmm. poof, poof. And then we get this ice age. It came down, and then it kind of settled. And now here we are in this ebb and flow that we're at. There is no global warming, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
mm-hmm.
a natural cycle.
Right.
But for a little bit after the flood because of the pendulum effect. It went in the other direction and became cold. And if you think of it like this, okay, now we're inside a snow globe kind of a thing. You know, there's this sphere of ice around the Earth. So when we see the North Pole and the South Pole, and they had animals on it at one point, okay, because they're there. They got frozen woolly mammoths, right?
Yep.
And they're there. And they're like, they're eating food, and it's still half eaten in their stomachs. It's like, oh, they're eating this. They got quick frozen. Imagine how cold it has to be to quick freeze a mammoth.
Yeah, instantly. Yeah. I mean, that, yeah, that's cold.
that's like, insane.
Yeah. what is that, those things called? Those cryo something or other chambers?
Yeah, cryogenics,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they can't even do it that fast.
Yeah.
So
imagine
when it
that.
Says the fountains of the deep broke and then the windows of heaven were opened, imagine this, the earth cracks and now it starts to, you know, eradicate this canopy that was above the earth and it starts to come in. All that cold air, you know, you got space, you know, we're in a terrarium, you know, it's 78 degrees over the whole planet because we're inside a terrarium. It's all controlled. But now all of a sudden you bust the hole open and all that cold air comes in like that.
Yeah.
That's how they're quick frozen at the poles because it came in.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, so here we have, after the flood, you got this ice age because all that cold came down, spread out, and then it settled back a bit, you know, like a wave. So that's why we see the whole ice age thing. And don't bother arguing with me. I've been doing this for 45 years. that's what it looked like. Go do some research. I'm not trying to, you know, convince anyone of it. That's just what happened.
Right.
So that's why we see the lifespans decline, because now we came down, now we got this mini ice age, now it goes back again, now we have more of the you know, there's an electromagnetic field around the earth, and then there's the ozone layer, and they both protect the earth from the sun's rays, because the sun, if you have a filter over it, it's good. You know, sun's rays, all the good stuff comes in, the plants get the nutrients, all the good stuff is magnified by this, but the ultraviolet rays are blocked out because of like a compressed hydrogen layer. So that's why they live, you know, 900 years or so.
Well,
that's why they live so long. But then after that,
climate change.
So now the planets break up. It takes them a little while to push out. They move a couple feet per second. That's how much they were moving in that time. That's pretty fast for a continent. And then, so that all broke up, and then more of the ozone layer and the electromagnetic field broke down. So now we have that protection. So now it's gone, and the sun is beating down on us, and we start to live less and less and less.
Right.
And our DNA is busted up by all the rays.
You can only split DNA so long before you run out of
something. Yeah, it's like, there's like a certain amount in every generation that are decayed, and we're pretty much at the end of the rope. Just another thing. Even the DNA says, listen, humanity's at the end of the rope.
Right.
Okay. So we see that drastic decline, but he did that out of his mercy. Because he literally says that. He said, now I will, you know, basically limit man's lifetime. Why is that? Because we talked about, you know, Noah and his generations were pure. But what would happen again? We already saw it happen when Noah's grandson went and found these writings of the Nephilim. And then he's like, hey, look at these cool writings. And he said, you need to destroy those right now. But but what he did is he went back and he started doing the incantations and let them all back in. Yeah. So he had to dumb down our DNA. He says, I got to bring it to a point. And this is kind of the thought process behind like chemotherapy. Listen, I'll make it just toxic enough for the bad cells to die, but not for your good ones.
Right.
In the meantime, you're still killing the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to that idea where he dumbed down our DNA, where it's enough to keep us alive until Messiah comes, okay, and then fixes everything. But it's too weak for the Nephilim to take over again.
Okay.
So now, in his mercy, he makes us weak, because then we have to completely rely on him. And now Nephilim, if you know, when demons come into a body, let's say someone out there gets demon possessed, their body's destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because of just all the stuff, they can't handle it anymore, and that's kept us at bay from the Nephilim taking over again, because mm-hmm. those are demon spirits. But that's why they're trying to do all this, you know, CRISPR technology and DNA manipulation. They're
right.
trying to add more, say, we can make you live 1,000 years. And
yeah.
they're like, no thanks, because then you're mm-hmm. going to take over my body. Not
right.
going to happen.
Right.
And we see when Jesus does come back at the end of the tribulation, he's basically going to revamp everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to destroying all the nations, you know, he's obviously, he's a giant electromagnetic pulse. So he's going to reset. He's going to electroshock
yeah.
us back into coherence.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
it says all the mountains will melt. And we're going to start this all over
mm-hmm.
again, because it specifically says people will live right through that whole 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So obviously our DNA will be the way it was pre-flood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
yeah.
it said it will be a baby that dies at 100 years old,
mm-hmm.
but a child. Why'd he die at 100? What'd he do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was evil, you know, so
yeah.
that answers your question about...
I wonder if it's going to be exactly 1,000 years.
Yeah, think? Yeah, it will be. Well, it's on the prophetic clock of mm-hmm. 360-day years, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm wondering if he'll reset that, too, because, you know, we were thrown off for a while. I wonder if he'll reset it to 360
yeah.
days. That's
mm-hmm.
going to be cool.
Yeah.
Another question.
There you go. We keep adding to the list.
I know, is it? What? And ChatGPT can't answer that one.
No, it can't.
It doesn't know everything, folks. Okay. And the drastic decline in our lifespan always leads to a drastic decline in the length of our shows, because we're only 2 minutes left here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But, you know, we see them going down. Then real quick, then the symbolism of the 10 generations, it's completion and judgment. Just as Noah's generation faced destruction due to increasing wickedness, Jesus likened the end times to the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're seeing yep. again. All the same thoughts and processes are coming here. That's
Absolutely.
Why we see
mm-hmm.
Nephilim reoccurring. And that's mm-hmm. why, you know, we see the judgment that's going to come down. So, Genesis 5 is way more than just a genealogy. It's basically a gold mine filled with a prophetic foreshadowing and also mm-hmm. divine mercy and the unfolding of God's redemptive plan.
Mm-hmm.
It establishes a certainty of death due to sin, the hope of salvation through the line of promise, and the anticipation of the ultimate deliverance through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I'm out of breath. Why don't you finish up and tell them what that ultimate deliverance through Jesus Christ is?
Well, that ultimate deliverance is all you've got to do to make sure that you can go to heaven is let the Lord know. Just tell him in your own words, Father, I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ is your son. I know he died for me on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose again on the third day, just like he said he would. And I know he's promised to come back and get his church, every Christian living and dead, before God unleashes a wrath on earth like it's never been seen before or will ever be seen again. I want no part of that. I promise to follow you all the rest of the days of my life, even if it's just for 1 second. And I pray that in Jesus' name. If you'll pray just a simple prayer like that, you'll be saved. And all you've got to do is mean it. Mean it from the bottom of your heart and then actually do it. And if you'll do that, well, maybe we'll be here for the next show. Maybe we won't. Good night. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith,
hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.